The Colgate Sports Newsreel with Frank Sinatra pinch-hitting for Bill Stern.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Chief Command, is far away. For this is his vacation time to rest and play. And for the night, well, he's away to take his place. We're glad to say it's Frank Sinatra in person.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For these weeks, while Bill Stern is away on his vacation, Colgate Shave Cream is presenting Distance Picture Stars in his place. Last week, it was Mr. William Powell. Tonight, it's Frank Sinatra. Next Friday night, Pat O'Brien. 2 weeks from tonight, Ronald Reagan. So, while Bill is away on his vacation, four of the biggest stars in Hollywood will pinch hit for him. As they take over his role as America's foremost spinner of sports yarns, these stars will borrow their own favorite tales from Bill's pocketbook entitled My Favorite Sports Stories, all great yarns from the world of sports. And so, here is tonight's guest star, pinch hitting for Bill Stern, Frank Sinatra.
As Bob Warren said, my name is Frank Sinatra. I make a living as a singer and an actor, but I like sports above all else, and that's why recently I had a wonderful time making a picture called Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You know, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd. Say, that's a great song, the greatest ever written about baseball, the imperishable Take Me Out to the Ball Game. In the picture of the same name, I played the part of an infielder in a great double play combination. And they wrote a song about our trio, too, from O'Brien to Ryan to Goldberg. My, what a great infield combination we were in pictures. But in the real world of baseball, the greatest infield combination was Tinkers to Evers to Chance. That combination consisted of little Johnny Evers playing second base, Joe Tinker at shortstop, and at first base, Big Frank Chance. Each of these was a brilliant star in his own right, yet they seemed to operate with but a single mind. And the team they played with, the Chicago Cubs, won four National League pennants and two World Series championships. These three great infielders, Tinker, Evers, and Chance, captured the public's imagination as no other group of ballplayers ever did. Everywhere you went, when they were in their heyday, you would hear the baseball fans shouting about Tinker to Evers to Chance. And yet there was a strange and foreboding manner about each of these great players. While fame had blessed this great combination, tough luck and tragedy seemed the dogs of it. Frank Chance, the peerless first baseman, was the first to feel the scorn of the jinx. Late in his playing career, he was beamed by a pitch ball. He was never the same man again. For years after, he suffered anguish from headaches, and then he became a victim of tuberculosis and died in horrible torture. Neither could Johnny Evers, the brilliant second baseman, escape the jinx. When the peppery little infielder left baseball, he had a fortune of more than $200,000, but he soon lost all of it. Then he suffered a stroke that paralyzed his right arm and leg. For years, Evers remained a helpless invalid, sentenced to a wheelchair until death finally released him. The jinx had struck down two teammates, and that left only Joe Tinker, the bandy-legged shortstop. However, when Joe Tinker left baseball, he seemed to be headed for fortune and happiness. He ran his baseball earnings into a fortune of more than $100,000. But suddenly, his savings were swept away. His first wife died, and so did his second. The twilight years weren't easy for Joe Tinker. He had many serious illnesses, and what's more, one of his legs were amputated to save his life. But even this didn't end the jinx, because he died on his 68th birthday, tortured man. And so that's the story of baseball's greatest double play combination, Tinker to Evers to Chance. A trio which made baseball history only to be jinxed for the rest of their lives. But what you may not know is that this great baseball trio of Tinker to Evers to Chance, even while making baseball history, never spoke to each other.
Frank Sinatra will be back in a moment with more sports stories, but first...
You fellows who have trouble with your shaves, what's your problem? Tough beard? Tender skin? Whatever it is, you'll find Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream is the answer. You've never known a shave so smooth, clean, and easy, or one that left your face feeling so comfortable. Prove it to yourself on this great proposition. There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. With your first shave, you'll notice this.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle. Better than greasy, heavy cream, your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
Yes, sir. Even the toughest whiskers soften up fast with that light, fine textured Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Your razor sweeps the bristles off close and clean with no scraping or snagging. You get a shave that looks great and feels swell. You get a large, giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless and use it 1 week. If you're not convinced it's the ideal shave, send us the carton top and you'll get your dollar quick. Address: Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City 2, New Jersey. Is it a deal? There's $1 cash. Says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Try it tomorrow.
And now back to Frank Sinatra, who tonight is pinch hitting for Bill Stern.
There are many strange stories told by Bill Stern in his book entitled My Favorite Sports Stories, and I was reminded of one of these when I played in a picture called The Kissing Bandit. You see, this story concerns a Mexican bandit named Pancho Villa and a prize fighter named Harvey Thorpe. Harvey Thorpe was a pretty good fighter some years ago, but he never went very far because he preferred farming to fighting. And at just about the time that he was coming to the top of his division, Harvey Thorpe bought himself a farm in Kansas and retired from the ring. That is, he thought he had retired from the ring, but he was mistaken. Because no sooner had he retired to his farm than Harvey Thorpe's former manager came to him excitedly and told him,
"Harv, I've got the break of a lifetime for you. We can get $8,000 for a fight in Mexico."
"Gosh, that's a lot of money."
"Oh, you gotta do it, Harvey. You gotta. Think what you can buy for your farm with $8,000.
"Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, I'll take the fight."
It was a hot, scorching day when Harvey Thorpe stepped into the ring in Juarez before a mob of wild and shouting Mexican fight fans. And as the battle began, Harvey Thorpe discovered that the other man in the ring was to prove an exceedingly tough nut to crack. For 15 rounds, Harvey Thorpe took a savage beating, but giving as much as he got. Just as the decision was going to be announced, a frightened cry went up from hundreds of throats in the arena. And then in a great cloud of dust, a large band of streaking men on horseback swept into the arena. It was a guerrilla raid on Juarez, and it was led by none other than the most feared bandit of all, Pancho Villa. The spectators rose for the exit, but Harvey Thorpe ducked under the ring. A moment later, the bandit, Pancho Villa, rode up to the ring on his white horse and ordered Harvey Thorpe, the fighter, to come out from under the ring.
"Who are you, gringo?"
"My name's Thorpe. I'm a fighter. I came here from my country to fight the Mexican champion for $8,000.
"Then let me see you fight, Americano. And I, Pancho Villa, will watch you fight. If you want to get paid, my friend, see to it that you fight well."
The two fighters climbed back into the ring, weary and sore after 15 rounds of hard fighting. They went at each other again. 5, 10, 15 more rounds they fought as furiously as before. And whenever the pace slowed down, the bandits at the ringside fired their pistols to speed up the action. Finally, after 20 rounds, the fight was stopped, and Harvey Thorpe, the American, was declared the winner. Pancho Villa arose from his place at the ringside, bowed gracefully to Harvey Thorpe, and said to him,
"Hey, you are one good fighter, but I have not stolen any money today, so instead, I will give you this."
As he said this, Pancho Villa tossed the bag into the ring and, jumping on his horse, shouted as he rode away,
"You are magnifico, Americano! Adios, amigos!"
No sooner was the dreaded Pancho Villa out of sight than Harvey Thorpe scooped up the bag at his feet and tore it open. There was no gold in the bag. Harvey looked at its contents in dismay. Instead of money in the bag, there were hundreds of plain Mexican beans, thousands of them. For 35 grueling rounds under the sun, Harvey Thorpe had been paid off with a bag of beans. It was a sad and crestfallen Harvey Thorpe who made his way back to his farm in Kansas. He was finished with the ring for good. Nobody would ever get him into that squared circle again. He had learned his lesson. But wait, the story doesn't end here. Several years after the fight at Juarez, Pancho Villa was shot down and killed. His funeral was a thing of beauty and pomp, and among the many wreaths and sumptuous floral offerings was a lovely cluster of bean blossoms sent by some unknown admirer from far-off Kansas to the dashing, gallant bandit leader of Mexico. With the floral offering was a note which read, "I've got 200 acres of beans planted already. They grow like wildfire up here, too. You, too, were magnificent. Adios, amigo." I'm getting a big kick out of pinch hitting for Bill Stern tonight, and I hope you're enjoying it, too. But you know, all the stories I've told you so far have been about famous in the world of sports. However, let me tell you just one more story of a man who was a sports failure. And yet, he too created an unforgettable story. At prep school, this boy, when he tried out for the school baseball team, failed. So he swallowed his pride and his ambition to become a baseball star, and instead, he became the team's manager and water boy. And he tried out for the football team, and again, he failed to make the team. He tried out for the college crew, and once more, he failed. However, as the years went by, he became a fine swimmer. But even his swimming ability brought him failure instead of success. Because one day, after swimming in very icy water, he became ill. And that illness left him shattered physically. But strangely enough, in his failure, that man found a great success. Because of all the men who came to seek fame in Washington, D.C., he created the most incredible success story in the political history of our nation. And surely by now, you must know the name of this once-upon-a-time sports failure we're talking about. His favorite song was, "Where seldom is heard a discouraging word." For his name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And the skies are not cloudy all day. I'll be back in just a moment to tell you who is going to pinch hit for Bill Stern next week. But first, since we're broadcasting tonight from New York, here's Bob Warner.
Why wait to try Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream? You can't lose on this swell proposition. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Yes, sir, $1 says it's the sweet, smooth, comfortable shave you want. And here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle. Better than greasy, heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cut through clean and smooth.
Right. Colgate Brushless gets tough whiskers so soft they don't fight the razor. Once over and your beard's off, close and clean with no scraping or aftershave tenderness. Try Colgate Brushless and see.
Tomorrow, buy a large or giant-sized two-bore jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Use it a week. Then if you're not 100% sold, mail the carton top to Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City 2, New Jersey, and you'll get $1 pronto. You've nothing to lose, everything to gain. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great pleasure for me to pinch hit for Bill Stern tonight. I generally listen to him telling his stories from the world of sports each Friday night, and tonight I got quite a banger to take in his place. Next week to spin these yarns will come a guy who's got a great chance in pictures named Pat O'Brien. That I'm going to hear, and I hope you'll be listening too. Before I say goodnight, I'd like to thank Bill for asking me to pinch hit for him, and if he'll just sing a tune for me in one of my pictures, we'll be even. Good night, everybody.
Next Friday night, another great motion picture star will be pinch hitting for Bill Stern. Or, as Frank Sinatra told you, next Friday night, it'll be the famous star, Pat O'Brien. So be sure to listen next Friday evening, same time, same station, when Pat O'Brien pinch hits for Bill Stern.
Bill Stern, the poker tape, man is far away. For this is his vacation time to rest and play. And for next week, well, he's away to take his place. We're glad to say we'll bring you Mr. Pat O'Brien. P-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Frank Sinatra appeared on this program tonight by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Any Number Can Play, starring Clark Gable. The Bill Stern Show tonight came from New York.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.